Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media, and we have a special guest on today, and my name is Mark Kent, and I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda.
Hello.
Hello, and we've got our all-around trusted soundboard and great guy operator, Bob Martin's with us as well.
How you doing, Bob?
Hi there, Mark. Hi, Linda.
Hi. And our special guest today is Jerome Corsi, and we want to get right to it on, talk about Obama's eligibility, his new book, and so forth, and go from there. But we wanted to, before we get started, we wanted to say a special shout-out to our new sponsor, Chuck's Coins, the largest precious metal dealership in Northern California. So with that, I guess we'll get right to it. Are you on the line there, Mr. Corsi?
Yes, I'm right here.
Oh, very good. How you doing today?
Doing great, thank you.
Good, good, good. So you're down at the convention, huh? Anything fun that we should know about before we get started?
Oh, no, I mean, it's nothing. Tonight's going to be Ryan's speech, and I think that's going to be a good speech, but that's about it. Nothing, you know, it's almost like these conventions are television shows anymore.
Yeah, they're all pretty well scripted at this point.
Yeah, there's nothing much happening of news value with things happen, and it's happening out of public view.
Okay. Well, listen, maybe you could give us a little bit of your background, Mr. Corsi. And, I know that you are a Harvard graduate and so forth, and then I kind of want you to tell us why you got into the eligibility issue with your book on the birth certificate.
Well, I've been a senior staff reporter with WND since 2008, after I wrote the co-authored Unfit for Command on John Kerry, the Swift Boat book,
right,
with my co-author John O'Neill. And that really was a chance to change careers. I had been in financial services for 25 years, and earlier in my career I had been doing a lot of writing, and I've been an academic. I have a PhD from Harvard in political science from 1972. And now that I've been writing, I've been following presidential politics, and of course this whole issue in 2008, when I wrote the Obama Nation, which was a book aimed at showing the leftist politics of Barack Obama and the socialist nature of his background, that I really began to investigate Obama in very deep fashion and realized that he had never shown original 1961 birth qualification. In fact, at that time, the short form he had published on the internet website, short form birth certificate, looked like a pretty crude computer forgery. So that's what drew my attention. It looked from the very beginning as if these birth records were computer generated and not actual documents from the Hawaii Department of Health.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? That's kind of how I got into this as well, as I started investigating the natural born citizen, and then, boy, you just start down this rabbit hole, and it seems like it goes on forever.
Well, and again, it's one of those kind of issues that startles you, because you'd think that there was a mechanism in place with Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution requires that a president be a natural born citizen. But the problem is that there is no mechanism in place. There's no institution of government that the Constitution assigns to be responsible for determining the candidate for the president is a natural-born citizen.
As far as
through that loophole is where Obama managed to become a candidate and then elected president without ever proving he was, had a Hawaiian birth certificate or met the criteria for being a natural-born citizen, which should have included that he had two parents who were U.S. citizens at the time he was born, which he did not have.
Absolutely. And it looks to me like there was quite a bit of, there was quite a few attempts to cover that up between 2000, I guess it was three or four, and 2008. I mean, there's all kinds of attempts to change the definition in the Senate on that natural-born citizen status. So it seems to me there's more people involved than just Obama, at least from a cursory glance.
Well, right. I mean, it's one of the provisions of the Constitution that the political left had tried to change many times. The left considers this Article 2, Section 1 to be xenophobic. You know, why should we not be kumbaya, racial diversity? Who cares? What's borders? What's nationality? We're all citizens of the world, so why can't anybody be president? Well, the founders wanted someone to be president who had birth allegiance to the United States, which meant being born in the United States as well as having two parents who were U.S. citizens at the time you were born. A natural-born citizen is a restrictive subset of citizens.
Right.
And often this debate gets confused by people thinking that we're claiming Obama's not a citizen. That's not the issue. It's whether he's a natural-born citizen. And that even requires a debate over what the Constitution requires, which is an issue the Supreme Court is not definitively set on a case directly on the issue.
Right. Well, they've defined it in a few cases. I don't think they've had a specific case on it, like you say. I mean, in Miner versus Haversett, they did say what it was supposed to be: parents, create the citizen, natural born citizen. But I believe you're right. But if you go back to Vattel's Law of Nations and the Founding Fathers' documents and law at William and Mary, in the courses that they took, it seemed that it was pretty well defined in the natural law through Vattel.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I agree with all your references. It's a natural-born citizen is a natural law concept, and it's derived and specified by the founders because they did not want English common law defining who was going to be the president. Under English common law, a subject is someone just born within the realm of the king or queen. But we're not subjects, we're citizens. And that's a major distinction, and natural-born citizen is meant to be a particular subset where there's no birth allegiance to another country. So, you know, our founding fathers were especially concerned that someone with birth allegiance to Great Britain might end up being president. That's what's happened. I mean,
right. And in charge of the army, yeah.
Yeah, Barack Obama's father was Kenyan, so when Obama was born and never had any intention of being anything but Kenyan, so Obama was a dual citizen at birth of, you know, the great Commonwealth of Great Britain through his father's citizenship of Kenya, and Kenya was a Commonwealth country at the time.
Yeah, and then you could even go on to argue the point when he was adopted by Sotoro, when he went to Indonesia, you have to be an American citizen to be registered in school there, was my understanding. And I don't believe that he's ever revoked that citizenship. And we can't find anything out about this guy in the first place because he holds all the records sealed.
Well, that's right. And also, you know, you've got the few records we have, like the records from his going to school. When he went to school in Indonesia, he was registered as Barry Sotoro, which was the, you know, the name, his last name of his stepfather, Indonesian stepfather. So that suggests he was adopted. And the records say he was an Indonesian citizen and a Muslim. Now, also, the mother, Ann Dunham, changed her passport, took Barack Obama off the passport, and wrote in that his name was Soy Barka. So, you know, these indications are that Obama was at least utilizing another identity and suggests that he was adopted. Now, if he was adopted, that again could have compromised his natural-born citizenship status and could have and probably should have been a disqualification for being president. But again, Obama will not show his adoption records. He won't show any of his passport records. They've sealed or made otherwise unavailable all the records from Indonesia, except for these one or two records that we've got, again, of the school registration and his mother's passport. And it's impossible to find out. It's kind of a double standard when the press pounds Mitt Romney about his tax return.
Yeah, but this guy won't show any records.
We have virtually no records out on Barack Obama.
Listen, hold that thought, Mr. Corsi, and we'll be right back. We have to go to a break here for our sponsors, and we'll be right back, and let's continue this this line of thinking.
Okay, this is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step.
Join We the People Radio every Sunday morning with Elizabeth Woodward and Aaron Ryan, where we talk about all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution.
Let's roll, America. There's a job to be done.
This two-hour program offers you the opportunity to learn about issues the mainstream media only delivers in sound bites. Go to our website, wethepeopleradio.us, learn about people that are coming on the show, and if you'd like to hear them in person, find a Tea Party meeting near you. You can find that link at wethepeopleradio.us as well.
Wake up, America. You're too young to die.
This Sunday, We the People welcomes Tom Ballancourt of CaliforniansTrug.org. Tom has actually read the entire Obamacare bill. He'll take your questions and talk about Obamacare's effect on you, your faith, your family, your friends, and our country. We the People, Sunday mornings, 8 to 10 on AM 1460 KCNR.
Through this Monday, it's the big Crown Motors Labor Day Sell-a-thon at the Reading Convention Center. Every vehicle is discounted for this sale. This is your chance to save on new cars, save on new trucks, save on quality pre-owned cars and trucks. Ford, Dodge, Honda, Nissan, all discounted for this sale. Bankers on duty, trade-ins welcome, low financing, rebates, huge price reductions. The big Crown Motors Labor Day Sell-a-thon. The savings are huge at the Reading Convention Center. Through this Monday.
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Hear us streaming 24/7 on KCNR1460.com.
When I was a little boy,
when I was just a boy,
the devil called my name.
When I was just a boy,
I say now.
We're back, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of the Free Fire Media, and we're talking to Mr. Jerome Corsi, a writer of the book about Mr. Obama's eligibility, Where's the Real Birth Certificate? And so let's get right back on task, and let's talk about his records that are being have been sealed, the $4 million that he spent on them, and why can't we get this guy properly vetted, like the Democratic, National Democratic Conference should have for the his eligibility to be on the ballot, and there's actually a bunch of challenges on that aspect as well. So, are you there, Mr. Corsi?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay, very good. So, where were we?
Well, I was mentioning in the as you're picking up the the Obama camp has not released records. We don't have any of the passport records or adoption records from Indonesia, none of the school records from Indonesia. We don't have Barack Obama's grades back to kindergarten or any data. I mean, the likelihood he was registered at least Occidental, maybe Occidental in Colombia, as Barry Satoro, a Indonesian citizen. And again, every time we try to investigate this, we hit stone walls. I mean, Barack Obama told his publicist, who published many books, and some of them he didn't actually write, but he had book contracts to write, and his publicist for 16 years had out an autobiography created by Obama that said he was born in Kenya.
Yeah, how do you
well,
do that one?
He was telling his publicist that. Well, maybe he was telling the schools that, too.
Well, that could be the explanation. The one guy that does the odds, I can't remember his name, Wayne something, that has been talking about...
Wayne Allen Root.
Wayne Allen Root. He's been talking about that he believes that he registered as a foreign exchange student. That's how he got into Occidental, and that's how he got from Occidental to Columbia, because it's pretty well known, at least speculation, that his grades weren't very good, and he never showed up in class. And then how do you get into Harvard, on a scholarship when your grades aren't very good, unless you have applied as a foreign exchange student?
Well, I mean, that's it. And again, you know, when Obama wrote his autobiography, Dreams for My Father, he indicates he was using the name Barry Satoro. And certainly calling himself Barry, not Barack. And again, this, you know, identity issue is one. What is Barack Obama, or is it Barry Satoro? What's his legal name?
Right.
And again, we don't really know because we don't have the adoption records or the school records. It seems like from the publicist that... Obama changed his identity when it was convenient to him. When he wanted to say he was born in Kenya, he said he was born in Kenya. Then when it became inconvenient for Obama because he's running for president, suddenly the tune changed and Obama was now born in Hawaii.
Right. Right. And then, you know, we've had Mike Zulo on the program on a couple of occasions, and, you know, all the muddy water in Hawaii with the hospitals and the papers printing, you know, all you got to do is call in and you get a free, and they've even got a rule there that says that you don't have to be a citizen to get registered there. It's unbelievable.
I know. You know, when you begin to think about this and you go through it, you realize how important it is that, you know, records be released by presidential candidates, and ultimately the mechanism get put into place where we could have some institution of government, whether it be Federal Election Commission or a Senate committee or some body of government that would have to review birth credentials according to Article 2, Section 1, and determine if a candidate was a natural-born citizen and eligible to run for the president. Unless we get that in place, this problem is going to happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, how do we know we don't have a Manchurian candidate here? You know, you think about, you know, that old Frank Sinatra movie where, you know, he was the Manchurian candidate. No, that could never happen here, but we have no idea who this guy really is at this point.
Well, that's the problem. There's no verification. There's no final... documentation, and when the documents aren't being forthcoming, it's pretty clear Barack Obama has something to hide.
Right.
And most likely what he's trying to hide is that, you know, he was not born in Hawaii. Otherwise, just open up the Hawaii vault and show us the original 1961 birth credentials. Let's see what's there.
Absolutely.
Why do we have to be looking at electronic copies of birth certificates released on the White House website?
Well, absolutely. And you know, this whole thing, and when you look at his policies, you really can't help but wonder where this guy's allegiance is. Because I'll tell you, based on his policies, economic and otherwise, his allegiance doesn't seem to be to America.
Well, and this is the issue. Again, you know, the whole, people say, well, no, you're just racist. You're just asking Barack Obama because he's different, trying to make him look like he's not a U.S. citizen. No, the issue isn't whether he's a U.S. citizen, whether he's a natural-born citizen. And this is not a criterion that should be racist. It's been asked of many candidates. In fact, the Democrats were raising the issue over Mitt Romney because Mitt Romney his father, George Romney, was born in Mexico.
Right.
We researched that, and the family never gave up U.S. citizenship when they were in Mexico, the grandparents. So I think it's likely that George Romney, the father, was not a natural-born citizen, but Mitt Romney is. You know, the parents did not have to have been natural-born citizens themselves.
As long as
they
they're citizens.
They have to have been U.S. citizens when when the person was born.
Right. And as far as I can tell, I've done a little research on the presidents, and it seems like every president all the way back to George Washington has had this status of natural-born citizen. This is the first time that this has ever been in questioned as far as his eligibility, and I totally understand what you're saying. There needs to be some kind of a background check here that's reliable to be able to vet him for his eligibility status to get on the ballots in all 50 states.
Well, there was one additional, Chester Arthur, who was really destroyed birth records. I believe his father was not yet a naturalized citizen when Chester Arthur was born. I think his father came from Scotland or England and was not yet a U.S. citizen.
I see.
And Chester Arthur actually destroyed records and tried to cover that up. But it's going to occur again. I mean, you've got now Marco Rubio.
Right.
Was mentioned as a vice presidential candidate. Well, Marco Rubio's parents were not yet naturalized U.S. citizens when he was born. Or the same with Bobby Jindal, who is the Louisiana Republican governor. Again, the same problem. His parents were not yet U.S. citizens when he was born, so he could not have been a natural-born citizen. These issues, especially with the amount of immigration we've had, are going to continue to be raised. Barack Obama is by far the only person to whom these questions can be addressed.
Well, and the rule of all this racial stuff and, racism and prejudice, it's all baloney in my opinion. My big issue here is the rule of law. If we can't depend on the rule of law, we can depend on a rule of a tyrant at some point and tyranny because, I mean, if we look at the executive orders that have been tossed out there, the invading Libya without congressional approval, this guy just thinks that he can do whatever he wants there. And that's my big concern is at some point in time, if there is no ground rule saying here's what the qualifications are, and it's obvious in the Constitution that it's very definitive, where does it end?
Well, that's right. And see, you go back and you see it's double standard because the Democrats were the first. If you look at my book, Where's the Birth Certificate? The Democrats first in 2008 raised this issue on John McCain.
Right.
McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone. Now, and the Democrats were for months, they didn't call themselves birthers. They had the New York Times and the Washington Post and ABC and all the television networks beating the drums that John McCain was not a natural-born citizen because he was born in Panama Canal Zone. They thought it was perfectly okay to raise that issue, the Democrats, against McCain. They didn't like it raised about Obama. A double standard. Well, McCain actually did bring forth his birth credentials.
Right.
And the Senate passed a resolution that said that McCain was a natural-born citizen because the Congress, the Founding Fathers never intended that someone would be disqualified from running for the president because he was born overseas with the parents serving the military. So McCain's father was on the naval base in Panama Canal, and that's why McCain was born in the Panama Canal Zone on the military base, and you even had to have McCain get so far as to come forward and show the doctor at the hospital and the records at the hospital. Democrats went on and on with this for months and didn't think it was anything hypocritical that they were objecting to the same questions being raised about Barack Obama.
Yeah, didn't Hillary even raise the issue back in the convention in 2008 on his birth, and then all of a sudden it just went away, I guess, is what my understanding was, is that she was one of the first ones to bring it up, her and Bill.
Well, she was the first one to do it. She was the very first one to do it. And, when you take a look at it and see how they go with that, you basically understand that Hillary just backed off because I'm sure that the Democrats said do not pursue this issue. But it's an issue that's not going to go away. I mean, look, we've even had now a continuing discussion of this. Mitt Romney joked recently that no one asked to see his birth certificate in Michigan. They knew he was born in Michigan. Of course, the Obama campaign went all kinds of crazy, and they said, oh, this is racist, and discredited. Well, it wasn't discredited or racist when the Democrats raised the issue about John McCain, or even when they suggested about Mitt Romney himself. Democrats are using the Saul Alinsky tactic.
Yeah, absolutely.
And,
I was just going to bring that up.
Those Saul Alinsky tactics are to ridicule anybody who raises a question you can't answer.
Right. You just you get everybody to ridicule them as opposed to answering the question. You know, unless, like, you know, right now some people say that it doesn't matter where he is born, it matters where he's at. But I think, you know, and why won't the House and the Senate raise these issues and do a congressional investigation on this? I've written my local congressman. He doesn't do anything. They just ignore it. It makes me wonder. Sometimes I believe that the Republicans and the Democrats are in bed on a lot of these issues. It seems like we have a one big government party with two heads to it these days.
Well, this is the issue. You see, this is the nature of what we've got to be concerned with, which is rule of law.
Right.
That's the subject here. It's the rule of law.
Right. Listen, Mr. Corsi, I've got to go to a break, and I'll be right back. I apologize. And remember that we're talking about the rule of law again.
This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
For the Black Bear Diner, here are founders Bob Papa Bear Manley and Bruce Sugar Bear Dean.
I'm called the Guru, and I'm going to teach you how to flow life's energy through your chakras so you can view the world through your third eye.
Well, freely through my what? Hate to break it to you, Mr. Guru, sir, but I've only got two eyes. Hey, Papa Bear, how's the dancing coming?
Ooh, these guys sure know how to have fun.
I know we're trying to find our inner bear and all so we can make Black Bear Diner the best it can be for our customers. But
remember, guys, the journey to enlightenment flows along a path in and out of the surrounding world.
Do you have any idea what this guy's talking about, Papa Bear?
Not really. Do you?
Nope. All I can think about is enjoying a Bigfoot chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes smothered in country gravy.
Yeah, or huge Hungry Man steak and eggs breakfast. It's served all day.
Let's go give our inner bear something to chew on.
Good old-fashioned family food, Black Bear Diner. Black Bear Diner.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Sovereign Mind Radio.
Where the fun never stops there.
Home and Free Fire Media.
Yeah.
And we've got Mr. Corsi, Mr. Jerome Corsi on the line with us. He's at the Republican National Convention, and we're taping this, so don't anybody bother calling into the chat or go to the chat room or call in. But we're talking about the rule of law, and I'll tell you, that's the subject that I really like to hit on because I don't think people understand why the rule of law is important. They think that, you know, you can just, you know, break these rules and doesn't matter, but when you start breaking these rules, pretty soon you don't have any rules. So.
Well, that's right. And I want Mark to shift gears and go to my new book. It's just
coming very
out.
Good. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Oil, but I do want to just conclude that yes, the issue of, you know, natural born citizen, the question about Barack Obama's birth certificate, is one of rule of law. As long as Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution says someone has to be a natural-born citizen, it's legitimate, has to see birth credential, and electronic versions that Obama has provided, not showing the original 61 documents, are strongly indicating the cover-up is going on.
Right.
We even have Sheriff Arpaio determine that.
Well, he's
law enforcement investigation.
Yeah, he's said they're forgeries, as well as the birth certificate, the Selective Service. You know, we could talk about the Social Security number, all of that. I mean, it just seems like this just goes on and on and on with this guy.
It does, and these are issues that are, I think, serious issues. They won't just come up with Barack Obama. We've got to set a standard here. We've got to get an institution or a mechanism in place to check birth records for all presidential candidates.
I agree.
But the new book I've got coming out is called The Great Oil Conspiracy. And it's an e-book and a hardcover book. It's coming into the stores. I think it's also going to be a major issue in the presidential campaign, because what you've got is, Barack Obama has not been drilling for oil. We have a situation where, in fact, oil is going to be, it is very high in price. It's been very high in price.
And going up.
And it's going higher in price.
Yeah.
And this is an issue where, there's enough oil available to, in fact, have the U.S. be oil independent, not using foreign oil. And the fundamental principle of my book, which goes back to showing even with the Nazis in World War II, who had developed synthetic oil, because Germany did not have much in terms of reserves of natural oil of their own, so they used coal to make oil. The Nazis knew the formulas which prove that oil is abiotic, that the earth makes oil on a natural, ongoing basis. It's not fossil fuel.
Hmm.
And this information has been withheld from the American people, and this, I've written a very focused book, a short book, easy to read, and went back to the National Archives and even gotten the material on the Nazis and what they knew to show people the knowledge that oil is abiotic and made by the earth on a constant basis has been around since World War II. It's just been withheld from the American people.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. I never bought into the theory of the, fossil fuel thing, because how many animals does it take and make trillions of dollars or trillions of barrels of oil in Saudi Arabia or someplace? It just didn't ever make any sense to me. I mean, you have to kill off a lot of dinosaurs.
Right. And look, we're finding oil at deep earth, deep water levels. We're finding it in the Gulf of Mexico, miles below the surface of the water. We're doing the same off of almost every continent. We're finding it off of Brazil, off of Africa. I mean, and two-thirds of the earth is covered in water. Well, if oil is produced in the mantle of the earth and it seeps up through cracks and pools in sedimentary rock, that's why Saudi Arabia has oil. The book shows the bedrock underneath the structure of the oil fields in Saudi Arabia, and the bedrock is deeply fractured.
Hmm.
That's the point, is the oil is available in bedrock structures, in the mantle of the earth, under the sea, around the world, and in great quantities.
Hmm. I read something the other day that said that the Middle East, the Arab states there, are starting to run out of it. I mean, and they're kind of covering this up a little bit because they don't want to let it out, the fact that they are, we've gotten past peak oil. What do you know about peak oil, and what's your understanding of that?
Well, again, peak oil, I think, is a hoax.
Mm.
It started with the idea that oil is fossil fuel. So, there can only be so many fossils, so there can only be so much fuel. By the way, fossils aren't the animal. There's no animal left. No fossil
right.
ever produced fuel. Like a petrified tree is silica that has filled in, and the minerals have taken the shape of the tree, and they have, metamorphized and hardened into rock. But the tree's long gone.
Right.
It didn't make oil.
Yeah, what does make oil? I mean, is it just the pressure in the rocks down deep, or
it's really a very simple formula? It's the You have to have something that has hydrogen in it, something that has carbon in it, and then under catalytic processes, catalysts, under pressure, great pressure and great heat, when, you know, for instance, water will start to release, the hydrogen in water. Water is breaking up under these pressures. Well, that hydrogen's then free to combine with carbon, and if the right catalyst is there, iron oxide, there's a whole family of catalysts, you can get a chemical reaction occurring where hydrocarbons are formed.
Hmm.
And those hydrocarbons form in the simplest is methane, and then a whole series of advanced hydrocarbon chains that we know as oil, petroleum products. But it's a natural process that occurs, and the chemicals, the formulas for this, were derived by the Nazis originally.
So what do you think?
The Nazis used it to make synthetic oil, to make oil from coal. Well, that's too expensive. We don't need to do that. We need to take these formulas and realize that they unlock the secrets to how oil is formed within the earth.
So why do you think that they are not drilling? I mean, do you think that they want us dependent on foreign oil? I mean, why is Mr. Obama, for lack of a better term, why do you think he has been stifling all of the drilling, all of the pipelines? I mean, he doesn't seem like he's doing this in our best interest at all. And why is there, are the prostitutes not covering any of this? I mean, you know, go ahead.
This is really why I've written this book, This Great Oil Conspiracy, because I want people to understand that oil is abundant and natural, made by the earth, not some product that isn't, you know, created within the earth. It's a natural product. The bias in the Obama administration and the left has been really anti-hydrocarbons. It's like they want everybody to think hydrocarbons are dirty or, you know, can't be used cleanly or efficiently. All of which is nonsense. And these green technologies that Obama once used end up just funding his buddies in projects like Solyndra.
Right.
You know, these huge hoaxes that don't work because the alternate fuel sources, wind, various kinds of solar, don't generate a robust enough energy to really make a difference.
And I, you know something, I think even if they did work, they're not setting these things up to work. They're setting these things up to pass the federal government money into their Chicago-style buddy mafia-type deal, if you ask me.
That's what's exactly happening. And Obama said, we need to stimulate these projects to get them going. No, there's no structure in the science where wind energy or solar energy is ever going to be able to replace hydrocarbon energy. But if you were saying, okay, I want to put some solar panels on my house or a windmill in my community, sure, you might be able to generate some electricity. But if you want to power New York City or Los Angeles with wind or solar power, there's no way you can get the territory, the land needed to put the wind farm or the solar plant, and it becomes inefficient.
Yeah, it just doesn't add up. What do you think about the natural gas? Is that going to be a viable solution to it?
Well, natural gas, again, is a hydrocarbon, and it's a naturally produced product. The earth produces it on a constant basis, and it's abundant. We at deep earth levels, again, have so much natural gas that I can't imagine us ever running out of it.
Yeah.
And if you get that technology to be liquefied, which we can do now, and transportable, you've got a very robust technology and energy structure and natural gas that's an alternative to crude oil, which can produce, even run vehicles, can, you know, certainly heat homes, produce electricity in the cities for light, to all kinds of, natural gas is as efficient a source of energy as crude oil.
Hmm.
And we should develop it because the United States has it abundantly and cheaply.
Well, why do you think I hate to keep picking on the prostitutes, as I like to call them, but, you know, why does the mainstream media report any of this stuff? I mean, we're going to go to a break here in about a minute, so I kind of want to set you up for that for our last segment. And I'd like to talk about that. I'd like to talk about, you know, why it seems that the politicians are making us vulnerable to our enemies offshore, and why the mainstream press does not seem to want to report any of this stuff. And they do blackouts on any, just like you talked about the Alinsky stuff, they ridicule anybody who disagrees with them, but then they black out any information that disagrees with them as well through the mainstream media. Now, with that, I think let's go to a break right now and kind of stew on that a little bit. And when we come back, let's talk about that.
All right. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Thank you for shopping at Bastiani Arms. It is now 6 o'clock and we are now closed. Please bring your purchases up to the register at this time.
Hold up. Wait a minute. Just kidding.
The good guys at Bastiani Arms will continue to give you the attention and service you've come to expect, even if you need them after hours. They still treat every customer the old-fashioned way, with respect and first-class customer service. If you're buying a new gun anytime soon, remember Bastiani Arms, your locally owned and operated firearms dealer. New or used, Bastiani Arms is Redding's most knowledgeable firearms dealer on handguns, rifles, shotguns, and off-list AR lower receivers. No fishing poles or camping equipment sold here. No, sir. Bastiani Arms is Redding's exclusive firearms dealer. They appreciate your business and thank you for keeping your dollars here in our community. Bastiani Arms on the corner of Larkspur and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Through this Monday, it's the big Crown Motors Labor Day Sellathon at the Redding Convention Center. Every vehicle is discounted for this sale. This is your chance to save on new cars, save on new trucks, save on quality pre-owned cars and trucks. Ford, Dodge, Honda, Nissan, all discounted for this sale. Bankers on duty, trade-ins welcome, low financing, rebates, huge price reductions. The big Crown Motors Labor Day Sellathon. The savings are huge at the Redding Convention Center. Through this Monday.
This is KCNR, the home of Free Fire Media.
Sovereign Mind Radio. Swear I didn't smoke any of that grass and I didn't pop any of those pills.
Yeah, okay.
We're back with our last segment with Mr. Jerome Corsi, and it's been a very good segment in this interview. And
we greatly appreciate you taking your time to come on the air with us. Before we get started this next segment, I just wanted your book's coming out. Isn't that September 1st, The Great Oil Conspiracy?
The Great Oil Conspiracy should be in all the stores on September 1st, and it's also available as an e-book, so you'll be able to get it in both formats. And I've written this to be a short book, an easy-to-read book. It's especially well-priced in the e-book format, and I wanted it to be able to cover this issue so people convincingly can see that oil is known to be abiotic, created by the Earth on a natural basis, and is not fossil fuel, and that this has been known since the Nazi scientists in World War II.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that I've got out of all your books, Mr. Corsi, is that you do, when you do research, boy, I'll tell you, you do
some research.
You get in there and you get it, you break it down. I mean, on the book with the eligibility issue, I was sometimes, you know, it was so well researched that sometimes it'd make your head start to hurt a little bit.
Well, you know, to do this book on abiotic oil, the great oil conspiracy, I went to the National Archives in Washington, and the records from World War II are now available. So we had an Operation Paperclip, which was bringing Nazi scientists to the United States. And we brought a number of these scientists in Germany who had worked in what was called the Fischer-Tropsch process. This was the chemical process used to produce synthetic oil. And I've got their mugshots and their biographies and their discussions. Some of them, the U.S. military intelligence said, well, these guys are really still Nazis. They brought them to the United States anyway. And the Nazis knew that the synthetic oil process, making oil from coal, wasn't really the real prize here. The prize was their formulas, the chemical formulas developed back into the Weimar Republic, where the Nazi chemists in Germany before the Nazis recognized that oil is a natural product created by the earth and natural gas on a real ongoing basis, being created every day.
Wow.
Even now. Not fossil fuel.
That makes
sense.
Not
old rotting dinosaurs.
Yeah, it makes sense because it's got to be coming from someplace. You can't be continually pumping this many barrels out of the ground and have it not be reproducing, I would think. I mean, otherwise, where does it all come from?
Well, especially at the deep levels. I mean, and I did a lot of work on the energy economics. There's a writer who I thought was especially gifted, Julian Simon. He's dead now, but Julian Simon really did a lot of analysis, and he said people have a tendency to believe we're running out of energy. So there was a great scare. We were running out of coal in Great Britain at the time, you know, 1850s in the Industrial Revolution. And what Julian Simon pointed out was, look, there's a lot more of the energy than you think there is. So we don't really have any clue. This peak oil is all nonsense. We're finding huge oil deposits at deep earth, deep water levels we never knew were there. We're only beginning to explore the continental shelves. We haven't gotten out anywhere near the middle of the oceans with our technology. When we do, we're still going to keep finding oil. And the fact is, we find alternatives as we go along. So if we start out thinking we're going to only be able to use crude oil, now we realize we can use natural gas. Natural gas, when I was a kid, was burned off in the oil field because they thought it was worthless.
Right. Yeah.
Today, it's a major source of energy.
Wow. Wow. Well, I want to go back to the original question on this media. Why do you think the media does all this blackout and not report any of this stuff? What's your theory on this?
Well, I think we've got a very political motivated media today. It's very leftist. We've been coming out of the schools with, you know, generations now since the Vietnam War of leftist educated students. And they're predisposed to think, oh, we've got to have green energy, or that hydrocarbons, there's something wrong with them, or, you know, the Agenda 21 from the United Nations, there's too many people, and we've got to have sustainable development.
Well, and that's all about control. I mean, really, when you get into all those
documents.
It's all
about control.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you really get into it, the media and the left does not want to report the truth, which is there's abundant oil. Abundant natural gas. It's almost inconceivable that we would ever run out. And it can be produced cheaply. And the cheap energy comes into a, you know, a free enterprise system. Will generate enormous economic growth. We've seen that since the end of World War II in the United States. But the left has these ideas of globalism and United Nations control and sustainability and green energy, and they are all lies. They don't work.
Yeah, they're all lies to consolidate power into an oligarchy at the top who tells everybody what to do is what it looks like to me.
Yeah, I mean, I never found a socialist, including Barack Obama, who wanted to redistribute his energy.
Yeah, it's all about
his wealth. He wants to redistribute yours.
That's exactly
right. He doesn't want to quit using his, you know, Air Force One 747 or whatever it is today. He wants you to ride in a tiny little airplane, if at all.
Well, we got a modern day Louis the 16th, and what was the one gal that got her head cut off?
Marie Antoinette.
Yeah, I mean, look at the lavish entourage that Michelle Obama has had, and the travel,
right.
And I mean, they're not slowing down on any spending. It's insane.
They're not turning out the lights at the White House to save energy.
No.
You know, I mean, maybe Obama will finally give a Jimmy Carter speech where he wears his cardigan in the White House to lower your thermostat. Carter had the same leftist ideas of the 1970s.
Well, now...
decades later, and we still got abundant oil.
Now what you need to do is make sure your tires are inflated properly. That's going to solve it all.
Right, yeah. We need to pay thousands of dollars more for cars that run at, 50 miles a gallon. And why don't we put sails on the cars and run them with wind?
Well, that's what they used to do back in the day, the old...
it's nonsense. It's liberal nonsense. It's a political prejudice. It's not based in actual energy economics.
Well,
even today, with the volumes of energy being consumed in the world, oil remains abundant, the technology is advanced, and we can cheaply produce oil that we need to sustain and to increase private economic development around the world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we used to have normalcy bias towards capitalism, free enterprise, and free markets. Now what we have is normalcy bias towards Marxism and socialism and government control of everything.
That's right. In the politically correct environment coming out of the universities and the left, demonizes anyone who dares to explore these issues and tell the truth.
How did you avoid that graduating from Harvard? I thought that you always had to go to Harvard and then turn left.
Well, I didn't go to Harvard for religious conversion.
Oh, is that... That's very good. Well, have we got anything else? How much time do we have left here, Bob? And I kind of want to, get all we can out of this. I think we're down to the last 4 or 5 minutes.
We've got about 2 minutes left.
About 2 minutes left. So if you got anything that you want to put out there, Mr. Corsi, now's the time to do it.
Well, I'm continuing to write at WND.com, Senior Staff Reporter, and I really want people to check out this new book, The Great Oil Conspiracy. You'll find it. Bookstores everywhere. You're going to find it, e-book, hardcover book, that reasonably priced. It's not a hard read. It's an easy read. I go back to the roots of the Nazi science, the German science, which really showed the Fischer-Tropsch process and how the formulas exist to really get the scientific basis for understanding that oil, crude oil, natural gas are available, still available, can be reasonably priced. No prospect. Peak oil is a hoax. All these ideas you see were very, very systematically, carefully developed in the book, and you'll be able to understand why the energy scare for this green energy is again just a boondoggle.
Well, with that, I think we're about out of time.
Yeah, I just want to thank you again, Mr. Corsi, for taking time to allow us to do an interview on the radio with you. I know you're very busy.
And we hope we can get you back at some point sometime soon as well. So,
sure, I look forward to it. Thank
very
you
good.
Very
well,
much.
Thank you very much. You're great.
Okay, very good. Have we got any last words here? We want to thank our sponsors, Chuck's Coins and North State Consultants. I think if you were born an original, don't die a copy, John Mason. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and fearful master. George
Washington.
And we'll
see you all next week, and have a great weekend. And this is KCNR, 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
World, it is exploding, violence flaring, bullets loading, you're old enough to kill, but not for voting, you don't believe in war, but what's that gun you're toting, and even the Jordan River has bodies floating, but you
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate. Brought to you by Jeterbilt Construction, Megastar Mortgage, Trinity Pest Control, and Sheldon Largent Realty.
And good morning once again. Kurt Largent and Ruth Angel are coming up right after the 9 o'clock news here at KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. President Obama and Mitt Romney are in close races in Ohio, Florida, and Iowa. So say the surveys, and that's where they're speaking today. This past hour in Cincinnati, Romney recalled a promise from the president.
He was going to create more jobs. And today, 23 million people are out of work or stopped looking for work or underemployed. Let me tell you, if you have a coach that's 0 and 23 million, you say it's time to get a new coach.
Later, Romney and running mate Paul Ryan will campaign in Jacksonville, Florida. President Obama makes two speeches today in Iowa, the same state where he took a bus tour last month.
There's only six electoral votes in this state of Iowa. I asked the top Obama advisor, why invest so much presidential time in such a small state? He said, look, we're going to try and compete in every one of these battlegrounds because we're expecting it to be a pretty close race. Those six electoral votes could tip the balance.
Fox's Ed Henry in Iowa. As the remnants of Hurricane Isaac bring thunderstorms and